Welcome to Between a Talk and a Hard Place, a podcast for women bringing down-to-earth conversations about the realities of our real-life experiences. I'm your host, Lisette McKenzie, author, life and mindset transformation coach, and self-concept connoisseur. And together with my girls, Alicia and Natira, we'll be discussing everything from situations to situationships and the challenges women face every day as we navigate this thing called life.
So welcome back to the Between a Talk and a Hard Place podcast. Today I'm being joined by Rowena Davis. Is it Rowena?
Yes, that's correct.
Rowena Davis. And Rowena is one of the contributing authors to the Sisters in Arms, the Black Diamond Experience, Our Rise to Significance book collaboration. Rowena's chapter is one that really speaks to the heart for many people. It's a reality for many people. It's entitled, I Am Enough. It's chapter 5. And I Am Enough is such a strong statement because a lot of people really don't feel that they are enough. They feel that they need to be validated by other people, just to breathe, and that's literally impossible. You know, that's really impossible. So I want to welcome you, Rowena, and I'm looking forward to this discussion.
Thank you. So am I. I'm very looking forward to it, and thank you for having me join in this conversation and discussion today. It's really appreciated.
Thank you. And I see that you were spoiled, little one, reading your chapter. I was laughing.
I was. Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely was. I cannot say, that my struggle growing up has been a hard one. A lot of times you'll hear, people that tell their story. They came from, nothing, or they came up struggling just to survive. But in my case, it wasn't that. I came from a household where my father was a urologist and one of the first Black urologists. He graduated from Howard University at the top of his class. He was among several other successful Black men involved in many organizations and professional organizations, and was well known throughout his community for what he did. And my mom, even though she was a stay-at-home mom, she graduated with a master's in education. So we were never lacking for anything growing up. We kind of got handed the silver spoon, and we just knew from our parents that the main thing that we needed to focus on and the only thing we needed to focus on was our education. And outside of that, you didn't have any other jobs, any other chores. Education was key, and education was number one in our household.
I feel you. I kind of am in the same boat. I was spoiled. My friends used to call me the female Ricky Schroeder because everything I wanted, I had.
Me too.
There was no me such too. Thing as I need, because there was me nothing too. That I needed.
Right.
So when I read that part, I was like, oh my gosh, we have so much in common right now.
Yep.
So when do you think you transitioned from having it all to feeling like you just weren't enough, like you just didn't have it all?
So it kind of started early for me, and I didn't really even realize it until probably about 2 or 3 years ago when I started to really get into therapy. And I think when I really started to transition into that cycle of not being good enough was probably around the age of 12 or 13. We had just moved, which at that time we had lived in an affluent neighborhood, so I had a slew of friends and always had a good time, always had fun, even at that young age. However, when my dad decided to move to Arizona, then that's kind of when things started to change. I entered junior high school around the age of probably 15 or 16 when I entered high school, mm-hmm. my dad started noticing that I picked up on a little bit of weight. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of weight for me at that time was probably like 105. But in my case, just to hear, I guess, my father say that, mm-hmm. at that age, that, you know, your daughter is getting fat and she's gaining weight, mm-hmm. that had a huge impact on me. And just the fact that, you know, ever since the age of 13, I have never really been able to make a lot of female friends. Mm-hmm. So because I wasn't able to do that, which could have been a lot on my part as well, because I didn't feel that connection with a lot of females, I often was jumping from one relationship to another relationship. And it mm-hmm. just continued on in a pattern that I felt that I had to be in a male and female relationship in order to feel validated, because I wasn't feeling validated anywhere else. I wasn't feeling good enough anywhere else. I didn't have friends. So, hey, maybe I can rely on a man and his validation to make me feel like I am good enough. And right. that's kind of where it started.
Right. And that seeking validation, that's a very important statement. Because I think a lot of young girls feel like they need to, and not even young girls, but I guess it starts when you're young. They feel like they need to seek out the attention of boys and men to make them feel good about themselves,
right?
And that's like a downfall. That connotation of not being good enough is a complete downfall for many people, because it like I said before, it's impossible to meet the standards of everyone. And just trying to do that, just trying to be everything to everyone kind of person,
right,
is enough to, it's draining. It'll cause mental burnout.
Yeah.
And it leaves you feeling constantly helpless and hopeless.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how I felt a lot during high school and in my, I mean, even onto my college years, like mm-hmm. I said, you know, with jumping from relationship to relationship, I often felt that I had to go above and beyond in trying to, you know, prove that I was worthy to be in that relationship, whether it was buying the man gifts, kind of calling them a million times, even then when I knew they didn't want to be bothered with me, mm-hmm. Reaching out to them and just supporting them in any kind of way. Even if I wasn't receiving that back, I still felt like it was enough for me because I didn't have something else with another female or friendships with females. So I felt that it was enough for me to be in that relationship, even though I knew it wasn't the right relationship. Mm-hmm. I knew that it was enough for me at that time, and that left me feeling still alone and still hopeless and still validated if their feelings weren't reciprocated. So mm-hmm. what I would often do is I would often get in this pattern of, well, he's not making me feel validated because he's not giving me what I want. So I'll go on to a different relationship. I'll still be in the same relationship and cheat on that person because mm-hmm. I'm looking so busy looking for something else and trying to find something else to make me feel good about myself. Here, I felt good about myself. And that cheating and jumping to relationship and having men tell me beautiful and then I'm smart and all along the line, you know, probably a lot of it was for them to get something out of me, right. that, you know, I was starting in college, I was more than willing to share and give up.
Right.
But
you were vulnerable.
I was vulnerable. Yeah.
They were eagles and you were the prey and
right.
you were vulnerable. So yeah, they're going to tell you everything that you want to hear so that they can get what they want.
Right.
And meanwhile, for you, you were getting what you were getting was only a temporary fix.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. A lot, and it's crazy because it's a reality for a lot of people, and they don't realize it's a lot of hurt because you put yourself through a lot of hurt. Let me ask you, do you think you masked your feelings? Did you show your your feelings, your hurt.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I never did. I mm-hmm. always, and I still don't to this day. I mm-hmm. try not to mask. I try to mask my feelings. I try not to show it because I think as a society, we believe that a Black woman is supposed to be the strongest person mm-hmm. in the world, that we have to support our Black men no matter what the circumstances. Mm-hmm. We have to support our families. We have to continue to be the rock. You know, if I cry or if I get sad, you know, I hide it because I don't want anybody to know that I'm going through anything internally. Plus, with me being an educated Black woman, and seem to have everything going on, and oh, by the way, you were raised with a silver spoon, so you never had to struggle for anything, so what exactly did you have to go through? Mm-hmm. You know, for me, with that mentality, I'm like, why would I want to share my feelings with everyone? I don't want to appear like I'm a burden to anyone, so I'll just keep my feelings internal and suffer in silence for all these years, because I don't want to have that perception. And even in the military too, as a military woman, I don't want to have that perception that I'm weak, that I'm always suffering through depression, that I'm always reaching out to people to talk about my feelings. And I don't want to, like, I'm a burden to people. So why am I going to share if I don't want to be a burden, if I want to keep up with the stigma that comes around a lot of Black women?
Right. And here's the thing, even silver gets tarnished.
Yes, and absolutely.
Nobody throws it away. They clean it up. So for when I hear you say that, and you're absolutely right, as Black women, we are expected to be this pillar of strength.
Yes.
We are expected to have no weaknesses. Right. We're expected to carry our families from one extreme to the next.
Yeah.
And that's a reality. But we have to take a step back and we have to put our foots down, literally, and not care about what they think about us in our vulnerable moments. We have to allow ourselves time to be vulnerable.
Right.
Because we are strong, absolutely, but we break down too.
Yeah.
So when I hear you say that, you know, it's kind of hurtful, because I've been there and I know what that's like to not want anybody to know that, oh my God, she can be hurt. Like, you know, I put on this face of strength and this persona that I don't care, but deep down I do care, mm-hmm. and I am hurt. And I think it kills me even more to try to mask it than it would for me to just let it go.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. And I have realized just recently, unfortunately, you know, I'm 40 now. So I have realized that me asking my feelings has done nothing more than damage rather than any kind of good. Because you asked me earlier about a turnaround point in regards to my life of not feeling good enough. But I mean, there's been several. I mean, it's from, you know, in 2007 was a big loss for me with the death of my son who mm-hmm. passed from SIDS. And then after that, I was at my ultimate vulnerability and I met my, you know, now ex-husband, but mm-hmm. I met him and we were married and it was, you know, a lot of emotional abuse. And a lot of people, the struggle that I had with that is that a lot of people don't see the emotional abuse side of domestic violence. They see the physical abuse. And yes, you know, physical was included mm-hmm. in that relationship, but it was a lot more mental. And how do you report to a police officer that he's saying these negative things about you? How do you leave your home mm-hmm. And go stay with a friend or go report it to someone when the only thing he's doing in their heads is just saying these negative things to you, that you're not, you know, a good mom, that you killed your child, that you, you know, you are not ever going to be successful in life. You know, I can't tell a police officer that. So I used to just stay in the relationship. I used to take it. I left about 7 or 8 times. I came back 7 or 8 times. I was admitted to the hospital twice for suicidal ideations, but a lot of people don't know that part, and that's not a lot of things that I share because I want to, number one, protect my career in the military.
Right.
And number two, I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to appear weak. I don't want to let my children and my girls see mommy cry and let my girls see that mommy is sad, because they pick up on that and then they might start to feel the same way. So mm-hmm. I just keep it inside. And it wasn't until I started seeking, you know, consistent therapy.
Yes.
That, I mean, because I would go to therapy and I would sit there for a month and I'd be like, you know what, this isn't working for me. I'm just going to go ahead and stop. Right. So I didn't go back. So it wasn't until I was around probably last year that I actually started taking therapy seriously and was able to get to the tools to start working on myself and bettering myself.
Absolutely. Because even though your girls see you as this strong woman, they can also sense they're your kids. They can sense right. when things are not right. And absolutely. In order to break the stigma of what you're going through, in order to break that that pattern, you have to let them know that it's okay to feel and to be vulnerable and to speak out, even when you think no one's going to believe you. And I'm glad that you said when it came to the emotional abuse, there was no proof. You know, they can't see the emotional abuse.
That's right.
I'm hopeful, and I would like to think that now with mental health becoming more prominent and people taking more notice, that emotional abuse is something that no documentation is required, no scar, because you can't see it, you know. Right. So I'm hoping that that is something that starts to become I hope it goes viral, you know, calling the police and they come in and you say, oh, he's telling me, you know, he's saying this. It's hurtful. Suicidal, you know, you had suicidal ideations. It is hurtful.
Very.
And you don't want your girls to feel like that's the only thing that they have. They right. need to get it. They need to let it out. They need right. to let it out before it builds itself into these ideations that tell them that they're no longer worthy.
Right. Right. No, absolutely. And, you know, that's why I have, you know, without sharing too many thing about my children, but, right. mm-hmm. you know, that is why I have hugely believed in therapy for, you know, my youngest one is 6, my oldest one is almost 14, but mm-hmm. that is why I push therapy for teenagers, because mm-hmm. I think that, you know, sometimes what I've realized for my girl, my oldest one at least, is that sometimes there are times where she's just not going to want to come talk to me. Mm-hmm. She's not going to want to come talk to her father. She's not going to want to come talk to her stepmom. And all three of us have a wonderful relationship. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I know as a teenage girl, she's not going to want to open up to a lot of things with us, because she right. feels she might get judged or we might get upset. So what we stress to her is that, you know, whenever you do feel a certain way, you don't have to always come to us, but go to somebody. Go to somebody that you trust, even if that's, you know, having a therapy session, if that's one of your nurses at school. I mean, it's harder mm-hmm. now because no school, but,
right.
you know, even if there's someone that you trust, an adult that you trust, your big sister, your big brother, talk it out with someone. Don't ever let your feelings get so bottled up inside that you just want to explode and that you have harmful thoughts, because then that will be worse down the line. So we've always stressed to her the importance of reaching out for help. If it's not in a professional therapeutic session, then it could mm-hmm. just be her sisters or her brothers right. or anybody mm-hmm. that's an adult figure that she trusts. So that's what we've tried to stress to her in regards to her mental health too as well, because it's challenging right now for her own mental health. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And I see here that you are interested in opening a nonprofit organization. Awesome. Let's talk about that. I think
it's for
children who've experienced trauma, the trauma of seeing their parents in toxic relationships. I think that's a fantastic and a much needed organization.
Yes, it is. And actually, it wasn't even myself that came up with that. It was my daughter that came up with that
wow,
idea and
amazing.
That thought. And sometimes I think, you know, while she never saw the physical part uh-huh. of the, she did see the emotional part of the relationship. And there were times where, you know, she felt helpless. She herself, she would see the yelling. You can't really say anything. But I think as a society, we're so focused on helping the adults, or helping the victim, or helping the victim to get out of that situation, that we often forget that not only does that abuse have whatever they are thinking in their heads, or whatever they see, you know, eventually down the line, they might mimic and they might think that's okay.
Absolutely.
And that's something that I really want to stress to children, that you are not what you see. So if you see, you know, and it's not saying that it's all men and women, because men get abused too as well, but for this certain situation and my own situation, you know, if you see a man, you know, hitting a woman, then as a man, you know, just don't think that because your father is doing that to your mother, that you have to grow up and be the same way.
Absolutely.
And if you see as a woman getting mentally abused, physically abused, just because you saw your mother go through that does not mean that you have to continue the cycle and continue to be abused as you grow up, because both of those situations are not okay. But you are not what you see, so you don't have to mimic everything that you see in your household because it wasn't right. So that's what I'm trying to stress to children, especially teenagers, men and women, that they don't have to continue the cycle of abuse, whether if they're the victim or if they're the offender.
Absolutely. I agree. And I'm looking forward to the fruition of all of this.
I'm trying. Fabulous. I'm trying.
You're going to do it. And you are absolutely going to do it. And I cannot wait.
Me too. Well, thank you so much.
And so how long have you been advocating? You are the director of the SWANS program. What's that?
I am a part of a great, wonderful organization that is actually, so we hear often about the D9s, you know, the Delta Sigma Theta, the Sigma Gamma Rho's. We hear about those, but we also have, in the background, we have our military sororities and fraternity as well. So I am a part of what's called Alpha Gamma Xi Military Sorority Incorporated. And that organization has all women veterans who are currently serving or who have served in any branch of the military. And we all come together and we form an amazing sisterhood. Within awesome. That organization, we have several programs. One of them, which is SHERO, which helps our women veterans and homelessness. Another one, which is HOPE, which helps our children. And the one that I'm director of is 30 Women and Nurturing Survivors. And we help survivors in the military and out the military with domestic violence, sexual assault, as well as suicide prevention and awareness. So we try to raise awareness for domestic violence, sexual assault, and suicide, suicides. And we also try to provide the survivors with resources that they might need, whether that's financial resources, just being an advocate for those survivors. Mm-hmm. And once a month, we have what's called our SIS talks, which is our suffering and silence talks. Mm-hmm. And these talks are geared towards survivors. And lately, we've just been doing it for all women because we know all women have, you know, something going on at all times. So lately, we've been opening up to all women so we can connect and we can bond and we can talk about you, talk about being able to pour from an empty cup and that you can't pour from an empty cup. We've had other guest speakers come on and talk. It's when we have these talks with these women and just an open conversation from a speaker about topics that affect us women.
Wow.
But I am happy to be a part of this organization.
That is amazing. That is really amazing.
Too.
How, and you said it's not only for military, right?
So the program is anyone. So anyone can be on the SIS talks, anyone can help provide resources. to be a member. So to be in, so to help support our program, you don't have to be a part of the military. However, to be a part of Alpha Gamma Xi military sorority, you do have to have an affiliation with the military, whether you're a veteran or you're still serving. So you have to have that requirement to be a part of the organization. So that is a requirement for that.
Okay. And how would people, how would they be a part of the talks?
So I have a Instagram page that people can follow. It is Swans, SWANS _AGXI. And normally at the beginning of the month, I'll advertise our flyer for our monthly SITS talks. Okay. And then I also have a Facebook page that is Swans Outreach SITS Talks. And in order to be a part of that, you just have to request to join, and then you can be a part of that Facebook page as well. Awesome. So this month we've been focusing just kind of on April, because April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and we've been focusing on Sexual Assault Awareness Month and just raising awareness and trying to, you know, do fundraisers and donations and just raising awareness for sexual assault survivors.
Okay. And just so that I have it right, SIS is Suffering in Silence?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Suffering in Silence. Awesome. I'm going to include those link, include that in the bio information.
Okay, perfect.
I think that is amazing. I really
thank you.
I thank you for taking that initiative to providing guidance to our young ones who do need that.
Right.
You are amazing.
Thank you.
You are more than enough. And you're not even full yet, and you're enough.
I appreciate it. Sometimes, you know, I keep telling people, and I tell the people this all the time, you know, there are days that, you know, I still struggle with my depression and with my anxiety, and I do get sad, and I do get in tears, and I have my breakdowns. I just had a breakdown probably like 3 days ago. Okay. So, you know, I do still struggle with that, but, you know, I try to let people know that you are not perfect. You're not, you know, God, and you're human. So you're going to have those times where you don't maybe feel like doing things, or you don't want to take time for yourself today. And that's, for me, that's okay, because mm-hmm. as long as you know that this is just a season, it's going to pass.
Right.
You have your support system, you have you know, things that you can do to get out of your quote-unquote funk, then that's enough. And, you know, I think people think that we're just not supposed to show emotions and show right. feelings, or even have feelings, but you're not going to have a perfect day every day, and you're going to have a bad day, and that's okay. And if you need to be alone, you need to be by yourself, you don't want to talk, then that's fine. Just know that there are people around you, you know, that do love you and do care about you, and you have that support system, and as well as therapy. And I stress therapy 100 times over. Therapy has been my godsend for the past few months. Mm-hmm. And I think if I didn't have therapy, if I didn't have an amazing and supportive boyfriend who has always been there for me for 3 years, awesome. And if I didn't have, you know, certain friendships that I have right now, then I wouldn't be able to get through this season. And it's just so important to mm-hmm. to seek therapy and go out to get help, because that yep. doesn't mean that you're weak. That doesn't mean that you can't handle stuff on your own. And I'm a Christian, and a lot of people believe that, you know, you can't be a Christian and have faith
right.
and okay. still go to therapy. But right. that's not true.
That's not true at all.
I mean, that's far from the truth. Because, you know, for me, faith without works is dead. And if I don't put in the work to take care of myself, mm-hmm. yes, I believe in God, and yes, He is almighty and has gotten me through so many things, but I know I need, you know, therapy as well.
Right.
And that has been something that has really, really gotten me through my darkest times. So I'm a huge advocate for therapy.
Absolutely. That's actually what I'm in school for now, for clinical mental health counseling. And
me too.
Absolutely right. Yeah. And I told you we had a lot in common.
I know we do.
And you're right. The stigma surrounding therapy is outrageous. Yeah. And the amount of people who need therapy is even more outrageous.
Yeah, it is.
And it's I find that a lot of people who are religious, they shun therapy because all they need is God, and that's essentially killing them. You know, I don't understand if it's there. I mean, God created other people, right? This is why they're here. They're here to help you. Yeah. Why would you not take that help? And
I agree.
You know, I'm optimistic that, especially during the climate that we're in now, therapy is going to, first of all, it's going to be a booming business.
It is.
So to speak. Huge. Because a lot of people are going to need help. And I just hope that they have a support network that encourages them to get that help.
Right. And I mean, even outside of being a Christian, you know, we just talked about the religious aspect, but I will tell you, not only is the struggle sometimes to seek help for me as a Christian, it's a struggle to seek help because I'm in the military. Wow. So we have a lot of repercussions and we have a lot of stigma out there that because you're in the military and because you're in, I'm in the Army, but because you're in the military that, you know, you shouldn't seek help, and that, you know, you shouldn't see therapy, and therapy makes you weak. And if you seek therapy, a lot of the things that come with it is that a lot of times when we go to report that we're seeking therapy, or that we're seeing a counselor, or that we have a mental illness, you know, that's reflected in our military records. And then, you know, higher people see that. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes people are worried, you know, that that could affect your security clearance. You could lose your job. You might get relieved of your job or your command, especially if you're a senior leader. You know, there's a lot of repercussions that people believe could come from seeking help in the military, and rightfully so. So trying to get rid of that stigma as well, that just because you're in the military, whether the Army, the Navy, the Marines, you know, just know there is still support out there for you to seek therapy. And you know, I think that that's just the issue that a lot of military members have right now, is they want to seek help and they want to seek counseling, but they're so afraid that they're going to lose their jobs. And I can tell you, as a person who has sought therapy while in the military, and even been admitted to the hospital while in the military, I have not lost my clearance. I've kept my clearance. I've kept my job. I have been able to push forward and still rise to the level that the military needs me to be a soldier. So I'm a strong advocate for seeking help in the military too, as well, because it's so needed and it's so important.
Absolutely. I agree. I couldn't have said it better. I mean, if you're doing your medical health, your mental health is just as important.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience, or just in general you want to speak about?
Not necessarily, no, but I did, like I said, I do want, you know, women out there to know that, you know, you are good enough, you are valuable, you are worthy. Don't ever hide your feelings. You know, if you're going through something, seek help, make sure that you seek therapy, and reach out to that support system that you have. And another thing, that the final thing I want to mention is, you know, I stress this a lot too as well, in regards to the negative self-talk. And I have realized that the negative self-talk is only that, and it's in my head.
Absolutely.
So I can only control what's in my head. So if I start to believe what people say and start to act on what people do and the negative things people say about me, and I start to believe it, then that's just what it is. And I'm letting my negative thoughts control me. But I've learned to flip the script And I have learned to flip those words and change them into positive words. And Absolutely. With time, I have been able to, be a better person for it and Absolutely. Be a better woman for it. And that's all I have.
Absolutely. And that is fantastic. And I'm glad you're able to do that. And a lot of people don't recognize negative self-talk because they see it as being a truth. And right. there's a difference.
Absolutely.
I was told there is a difference. And when this woman said this to me, it had never clicked so much that it did that day. She said, there's a difference between something being true and something being the truth.
Right.
And when she said that, I was like, oh, you know what? You're right.
Yep.
You're absolutely
right. I agree.
So I agree. Negative self-talk. And when you look around at what you've been through and where you are now,
yep,
that is from speaking to you in your instance, from what you shared and where you are now is proof that, you know, it negates your negative self-talk because you are enough. You've done amazing things. You may have been, they say that you can be a masterpiece and a work in progress. That's exactly what you are, that you are the epitome of that.
Thank you.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You're going through your own issues, your own situations, but you're still putting yourself out there to help someone else combat any of the issues they may come up with similar to your own.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. That is so amazing. And I wish a lot of people would change their perception of themselves and what they're doing in comparison to what other people think and say they should be doing.
I agree. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Well, Rowena, thank you so much for joining me. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed your chapter.
Well, thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to this organization that you're forming.
Thank you. I am too. It's a work in progress, but it will definitely get there.
It will get there. Absolutely. All right.